Welcome to Inside Forbes with me, Sally Moussa, as we take a look at the highlights of the May edition of Forbes Middle East, where we reveal one of the biggest lists on the calendar. And this month, it is all about the billionaires. To tell us who's at the top, I'd like to welcome back our managing editor, Claudine Coletti. Claudine, great to have you back.
Nice to see you again, Sally.
This is a big one. This month, we have the Middle East's richest billionaires for 2024. So what is the list looking like this year?
Yes, so we normally always highlight the Arab billionaires. So no matter where they are in the world, we extract them from the Forbes annual World Billionaires list. And we highlight them in our issue. But this year we've actually done something a bit different as well. We're looking at billionaires that reside in the Middle East and have their main businesses here, but they're not necessarily of Arab heritage. So it's a little bit different this year.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, a little bit expanded. But the number of billionaires has actually gone up year on year. What are the numbers for billionaires looking like this year?
Yes. So this year, globally, there's 141 more billionaires than there were last year. So this year, there's 2,871. But what I actually find interesting is if you look over the last 10 years. So in 2015, there were 1,876 billionaires. So it's gone up by around 48% in the last 10 years. But if you look at their wealth, 10 years ago, their collective wealth was just over 7 trillion. This year, it's just over 14 trillion. So it's nearly doubled in that time. So, I mean, there are fluctuations. The number of billionaires and their collective wealth went down between 2018 and 2020, spiked in 2021, then was going down again, and now appears to have spiked again. So that's an interesting pattern that we see. But in general, the richest keep getting richer.
They sure do. Now, let's look at here in the region, in the Middle East. In fact, the richest man is based here in the UAE, but he's not an Arab.
No. So of the 29 people on our list, 12 are actually based in the UAE. The richest guy here is Pavel Durov. He's actually Russian. He's the founder of Telegram, and he moved to Dubai. He moved himself and the company to Dubai in 2017. So he's been here a while now.
700 million active users worldwide for Telegram. You know, he's like the typical tech billionaire, right?
He really is. He's young. He's vibrant. He's full of ideas. I think he's looking into getting into cryptocurrency now.
Yes.
And he's worth $15.5 billion.
At only 39 years of age.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. The richest Arab man is somebody who's very much a mainstay on the billionaires list. We're talking, of course, about Nassef Suarez. He is a scion of Egypt's wealthiest family and somebody who really loves his sports too.
Yes, he does. He does. So he runs OCI, which is one of the world's largest nitrogen fertilizer producers. He also owns stakes in the NBA Knicks and the NHL Rangers. He's a huge sports fan. And he's been number one on our list for the last 5 years. I think this is the fifth consecutive year.
It's so interesting to see where he has his hands at Nassef Suarez. But when we're looking at the billionaires list, how are the women faring? Because I'm only noticing one woman, and that is, of course, Ranuka Jagtiani. And, you know, she is the founder of Landmark Group.
She is. So she's of Indian nationality, but she's been in the UAE for a while. The Landmark Group was actually founded by her husband in 1973. He sadly passed away last year. So she is now representing the women on the list. Unfortunately, she's the only one so far, but hopefully we'll see more as time goes on.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how they fare in future lists as well. We also have some really exciting breakouts into the list. We have some new names, including our cover star, Kabir Mulchandani, who is, of course, the founder of Five Holding, and somebody who has really built a career and an empire on knowing how to have a good time.
I doubt there's anyone in Dubai that has not had or been to one of the Five hotels. They are incredibly well known for being party palaces, I guess. You go to have a great time. They're also extremely luxurious, especially Five on the Palm. But the, I mean, when we say have a good time, it's very music based, you know. Yeah. We have Five Music, which was set up with Warner.
Yes.
So it has its own music platform that brings in new artists and encourages new collaborations. And on the luxury front, I mean, they have Fly Five. So there's a, they have their own private jet flights that they can arrange for guests who want to come in for in a group for parties on the Palm. I mean, it's a real, I feel like he's really found a niche.
You know what's really interesting as well? He talks a lot about sustainability. It's something that you wouldn't kind of really imagine, you know, with someone like that, but he's incredibly passionate about it and something he talks about a lot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He mentions how he sees it as, you know, it's not just a passion, it's a responsibility. He actually listed a green bond on Nasdaq Dubai last year, $350 million, with a commitment that you know, the investment's going to be channeled into sustainability. So they're creating new hotels and also transforming current hotels. He now owns the Pasha Group. So they're working on hotels in Ibiza, tying into the party vibe, but also pretty determined to make them all LED compliant. So in terms of power, water and waste, you know, real sustainability focus in mind, which does very much tie into the vibe that I think the youth are interested in, especially, and that I think we're all interested in now. We want to know that the tourism that we invest in and the places that we travel to are actually doing good for the planet as well. It's a great way to actually engage with a new audience, I think.
Exactly, because we're all thinking about it and we all want to do better. And it's great to see that. The Pasha Group acquisition was major for them.
Yeah.
He talks about that at length in the article, as well as the possibilities of an IPO. So that is an article not to be missed. This month, you have a very special feature interview with the UAE's first family of real estate as well. Most notably, Hussein Sadwani, the founder of DMAC, an incredible man with an amazing 40-year career that he's now looking at the legacy and passing on to his children.
I wouldn't say he's looking at handing over exactly right now. He's incredibly passionate.
Yeah.
I don't get the impression that he's looking to get
He's not slowing
up.
Down.
He's not slowing down at all. What really struck me, though, I mean, it is a 40-year legacy. It's not been without its challenges. I mean, as passionate a businessman as he is, he has faced failure and he has gotten himself back up again. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really struck me about his story, which we go into at length in the article, we go through how he started right up until now. But he's just had a real passion for business. He was determined to succeed. He's gone from, you know, the food industry to Gasco in Abu Dhabi, to hotels, to real estate, to data centers now. It's just been a real, he's just got the real drive to succeed. And he is passing that on now to his children. So they're all involved in DMAC, but they are actually all founding their own individual ventures as well. They've very much been raised in his footsteps.
We're seeing Amali coming up right now from Amira and Ali as well. And what I love and what you talk about in the interview, because you interviewed each and every one of his children, and they talk about their experiences of going into the office at 9 years of age and, you know, really being taught the ropes from the very beginning, which is extraordinary. Love that interview and not to be missed. But we're also looking at the top 100 travel and tourism leaders of 2024. You know, when we're talking about top non-oil GDP contributors, travel and tourism is at the top, really, for this region. So this is an incredibly important list too, isn't it?
It is. It's an incredibly important industry. And this is a region that just continues to fascinate and attract visitors from all over the world. It's actually one of the very few regions, if not the only region in the world, that's back up to pre-pandemic levels, if not surpassing them. You know, and we're not seeing that in Europe, we're not seeing that in the US, we're not seeing that in Asia, but in the Middle East, I think we're 22% up from pre-pandemic levels, according to UN Tourism, which is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And it just shows, you know, that both the passion for this region to, you know, create amazing experiences for travelers, but also the hunger for travelers to travel post-pandemic as well. And really coming back strong. At the top of the list, we have His Highness Sheikh Ahmed bin Zayed Al Maktoum. He is coming out on top, of course, the chairman of Emirates Airline and Dubai Airport. So what can you tell us about him and why he's at the top?
So this is the third year that we've done this list, and he's been at the top every year, of course. So he's been at the head of the Emirates Group and Emirates Airlines since 1985, which, I mean, it's pretty much when it was first founded. And I mean, that the whole group and the airline has just gone from strength to strength. And in last year, the 2022-2023 financial year, they saw their revenues go up by over 81%.
Incredible.
Which is just, I mean,
they've just released numbers. They are record numbers that we are looking at right now. And this is, it was interesting to me to read that this is actually the world's biggest long-haul airline as well. And it just really, you know, points to the fact that Dubai is a connector city. You know, and this is for decades now. You know, when we want to go anywhere in the world, people talk about going through Dubai, if not stopping in Dubai as their final destination. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've been doing that for decades. And I know a lot of people rely on that. You know, it's incredible to see. And it makes sense that these are the numbers that we're seeing.
Exactly. Emirates Airline carried over 43.6 million passengers last year. It's a huge number. And Dubai's one of the busiest airports in the world.
Yes.
The busiest, so...
Isn't it just? And of course, we've had plans that have been announced recently for expansions to Dubai airports, which is much needed, of course. But, you know, what's really interesting recently, we did, of course, see the record-breaking floods hitting Dubai. But you know what is really astonishing? Seeing Dubai airports recover so quickly, it was an incredibly difficult time. His Highness spoke about that, has spoken about it at length. But we were traveling at the time. We were outside of the country. And I know that our flights were delayed. We're traveling with Emirates. But it was astonishing, in fact, to see how fast Dubai airports had recovered, how fast Emirates Airline had also recovered just a few days, you know, after 75-year record-breaking floods had happened in the city, to the point where we came back. I was talking to you and you were like, this is unlike anything I've ever seen before. We came back, it felt like nothing had happened. It was incredible.
I mean, yeah, you missed quite a day. I mean, arguably quite a few people would have rather have been in Vienna that day.
Of course, of course.
I think in terms of the airport specifically, we did see quite a huge turnaround. A lot of people were stranded where they were, but like you say, within a few days, flights started getting booked again. The airport dealt with the floods there extremely well.
Amazing. Dubai is definitely at the top of the list when we're talking about travel and tourism in the region, but Saudi Arabia is not far behind, which is why we are seeing Fahad Hamidadeen, the CEO of Saudi Tourism Authority. He's coming in at number two. It's not surprising considering how much Saudi has done in such a short period of time.
Absolutely, and how much it's planning on doing. And also, I mean, the huge events that it's now it's now gearing up to. We've got Expo there in 2030. We've got the World Cup there in 2034. I mean, you saw the impact that had on Qatar.
Unbelievable.
They've got some huge things coming up. But also already some fantastic destinations. Like, I've been to Diriyah Gate a few times. It's absolutely beautiful. We've been talking. I really want to go to Alula when I can.
That is a must visit for everybody. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really gearing up to be the next major tourism hub in the region.
It really is. 100 million tourists last year alone. The first quarter for 2024 is up 10% year on year, more than 10% year on year. It's absolutely incredible, as well as tourism spending. That is also up double digits too. What they're doing is incredible. They were, of course, at ATM with the largest presence we've ever seen. It is unbelievable. And there are so many spots in Saudi Arabia. I don't think people realize how big the nation is and how diverse the nation is. You know, everything from F1 to esports to mountains, you know, they're talking about Saudi Arabia as a summer destination. That's unusual for the GCC because it gets too hot here. But they have the mountains where people can go to and cool off, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And there are, I have to tell you about this, there is a city called Al-Ahsa. That's in the eastern provinces of Saudi Arabia. They have ancient caves there. That city is one of the hottest places on earth. But when you go inside these caves where people used to live, it's like walking into a fridge. It is the most incredible thing I've experienced.
Well, that is also going on the list, yeah. Sally, 100%.
You have to go. And they have the oases there for the date palm trees. And it's just incredible. So, yeah, there is so much to see and visit. So it's not surprising at all.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it. I also look forward to it becoming more of a destination for international travelers.
Yes.
I mean, I know it gets a huge amount of tourism from within the region, but you know, to see it as a spot where, you know, the international travelers really think, let's go and check out Saudi. I mean, that would be quite a thing.
And I think the more that you have international travelers going to the kingdom and visiting it and going back home and telling people, mm-hmm. because it's truly unexpected. You know, once you hear about it, even for us, I used to live in Saudi. I'm discovering things that I never thought that I would see, which is really incredible. But, you know, somebody who's also on the list as well is Mohammed Abdullah Zabi. He's the group CEO of Miral. We're going to talk about Miral because they're doing their extraordinary campaign for the Yas Island Chief Island Officer. If you remember, we had Jason Momoa, we had Kevin Hart, and now they've just unveiled Ryan Reynolds.
Jason Momoa is not easy to forget. I do remember him. Yeah, and of course, Kevin Hart. Ryan Reynolds, what a great name and a great personality to get on board.
Incredible.
I mean, it's a real, I love that they're bringing in the comedy aspect, you know, the fun-loving side, the fun-loving personalities to really entice people to the island. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it is. It's such a coup for them. You know, I've heard that this is a deal that took years in the making, and it's exciting to see that, and it's really building up, you know, the profile of Yas Island and for people around the world to really know what the UAE and Yas Island has to offer. So it's incredibly exciting. They're doing great things.
They are. I actually quite recently, the last couple of weeks, I went to Warner Brothers on Yas Island. Fantastic day out.
Amazing.
And actually this last weekend I was at SeaWorld, which I must admit it surprised me. It was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much. The F1, the Louvre, everything, you know, that is there. And so many, again, so many diverse offerings. I personally love the F1. I have a 14-year-old. She loves it. She took me last year. I was like, but actually, it's amazing. Actually, it is a fantastic, fantastic experience. So, yeah, there's a lot more to come. I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing. But there is so much more to discover in the May issue of Forbes Middle East. We're excited to see it. Some fantastic interviews. Thank you so much, Claudine. And we're excited to see what's up for June.
Thank you, Sally. I'm excited to go away and start booking some flights after that conversation.
Exactly. This is what we're all going to be doing for the summer. That's it for Inside Forbes Middle East for our May edition. Don't forget, you can find the magazine right now in print and online.